Are you ready to unlock a secret to youthful vitality? Meet MitoPure, the revolutionary Urolithin A supplement from Timeline Nutrition. MitoPure ignites your body's natural anti-aging pathway, mitophagy. As we age, our cells can become damaged and dysfunctional. But with MitoPure, you can recycle these worn-out cells. MitoPure is a clinically validated solution backed by over 15 years of robust scientific research. Boost your cellular energy, enhance muscle strength and endurance, and even fight skin aging, all without changing your diet or exercise routine. I discovered MitoPure a couple of years ago after diving into the science of Urolithin A. Since then, it's become a vital part of my wellness routine. For more information and to order, visit timeline.com/Hoffman. Use code Hoffman at checkout to receive 10% off MitoPure. Whether you're looking to support muscle health, enhance your skin routine, or invest in your long-term vitality, MitoPure is your scientifically backed ally in the quest for slowing down the aging process. That's timeline.com/Hoffman for MitoPure. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I trust that you had a very happy and healthy Labor Day weekend, and now you're back to serious stuff, whatever it is that you do in normal times. We're back in the office. I'm with Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Layla is a registered dietitian, master's degree in nutrition, and my sidekick for our weekly podcast, wherein we answer questions. Questions at drhoffman.net is the destination for questions. And if you want to record a question for our show on Saturday, 877-726-8255. Some people are hedging their bets. They're using both. We prefer that you stick to one avenue so we can keep it straight and answer questions.
Twice.
Questions at drhoffman.net for this forum. So how you doing, Layla?
Okay. I can't believe here we are, September.
Yeah.
But time flies.
Something to look forward to, you know, balmier temperatures, the opportunity to wear long pants and you know, maybe get into our fall wardrobes and
put the flip-flops away,
and maybe see some fall foliage, although that's going to be a long time off. You know, just get back to a little more regular routine. So we have a bunch of questions. Questions come to questions at drhoffman.net. Before we get to that, there's something interesting happening in Washington that is, on the face of it, constructive. So what I say is, it sounds good. How are they going to mess this up?
Oh, boy, yeah.
But I'm not saying that they're going to mess it up necessarily, but there's a, you know, Washington has a way of taking great ideas and thwarting them and distorting them and, you know, hooking them to commercial imperatives and ultimately messing them up. But this comes to us from NPR.org. National Public Radio. Headline, the U.S. diet is deadly. Here are seven ideas to get Americans eating healthier. So what it's about is that they're convening a White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health later this month, and they will announce a new national strategy. The predecessor to this is an effort 50 years ago, which helped launch today's major federal food assistance programs. Now, that sounded like a good idea, but the net result of that, unfortunately, is that individuals who receive food assistance, a.k.a.
Supplemental Nutrition Assistance
Program. Studies suggest that they are less healthy, that they are heavier, that there's no restrictions virtually on what they can buy. They can't buy cigarettes, but they can buy all kinds of candy.
They can buy Doritos and soda.
Yeah, right. So it actually, that was a good idea gone wrong. Okay, so now, here, 50 years later, half a century later, we're going to try a correction. They say the diet-related health outranked deaths from smoking. About 900 deaths per day are linked to poor diet. The new ideas include the following, all reasonable. Treat food as medicine. There's mounting evidence that providing prescriptions for fruit and vegetables can spur people to eat better and manage weight and blood sugar. This is what we do in the practice. And they're actually piloting programs around the country to allow produce prescription, which hopefully will be subsidized, you know, like drugs are subsidized. It'd be nice if vitamins could be subsidized too, but of course the mainstream medicine does not believe in vitamins.
Right.
They also suggest a focus on quality of calories, not just quantity. In other words, just don't, you know, sure, caloric adequacy.
Right.
We're sort of past the year of preventing starvation.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is malnutrition.
We do.
But a surfeit of nutrition.
Yeah.
So they say that U.S. food policies and programs focus on improving access to sufficient quantities of food, but they should focus on the quality of food.
Yes.
Okay. Number three, expand access to dietary and lifestyle counseling. We're all for that.
Hello, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, unfortunately, too often these practices become sort of luxury practices.
Mm-hmm.
Because insurance companies do not reimburse us for spending an hour and a half with patients.
True.
It is not economically sustainable. So people have to pay, and, you know, that precludes people of modest means.
Mm-hmm.
Support food entrepreneurs. They're people who are doing innovative things. Teaching kitchens, community gardens, healthy food retails, wellness studios.
Yeah.
Nutrition services, healthy consumer products, and urban agricultural centers. That would be nice to subsidize those instead of subsidizing sugar and corn production.
Exactly.
Increase the number of new farmers growing healthy foods using regenerative farming techniques. That would be nice.
That is huge. I'm such a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make school meals free for all students. Well, I have a little problem with that, is that when they make school lunches free, the kids don't like the food and they throw in the garbage.
Right.
And that's one of the experiences that the Brit guy who went to Appalachia to the chef
Jamie Oliver?
Oliver, yeah.
Okay.
He said, I'm going to pick the toughest place in America to go to.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go to Appalachia with the highest rates of obesity and diabetes, and the food is abysmal, and I'm going to, you know, teach these kids to enjoy food.
Mm.
The problem is that once the horse is out of the barn, on your taste buds and your preferences.
Yes.
It's very hard to turn back the clock.
Yeah.
So what we need is really early intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see this in my family is, you know, the foods that these kids are eating early on shapes their taste preferences. And they have, like all kids want sweets, but they're very modest in their sweets intake. They know that it's an occasional treat. They ask for greens.
See? Oh, that's nice.
They eat.
Young children asking for greens. That's a beautiful thing.
They large plates of vegetables and whole grains and, you know.
Wonderful.
And so they're super healthy. But they got it from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also they got it in utero, which actually shapes the taste.
Yes.
When you know, mom was pregnant.
She ate her broccoli.
Yeah. And there is something about imprinting that occurs even in utero.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so I don't know, make school meals free. What do they get? And then what they do is they cut corners. They go to like pizza places
Exactly.
And they go to fast food places because they get like pouring rights to hook the kids on poor quality food.
Exactly.
And,
you know, part of my dietetic internship, I had to do a rotation at the Board of Ed. And it was one of the better high schools. It was in Long Island City, actually. And they were very, very good. But the food that was put out, there was a beautiful salad bar that was out there every day.
Yeah.
Only 10% of the kids were interested. These are high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
The other 90%, they wanted the bagel with the pizza.
Right.
And not only did they want the bagel with the pizza, they put ketchup on their pizza. Oh,
More ketchup.
More ketchup on their pizza.
Yeah.
Now, I was trying to direct the kids.
Yeah.
And this was not my job. I was trying to, kids, come here, look at these beautiful colors in this salad. Try some salad with this beautiful. I got stopped by my supervisor.
What?
You can't do that. Why not? I'm trying to direct them to eat better. Because they need to also eat these foods. Otherwise, we're not going to get the money to get the food to give the kids.
Okay.
If you're only going to, you know, If they're not eating the food, even if it's crap,
yeah,
they're not going to get the money to feed them at all.
You want,
right. Yeah, so it was all this kind of show politics.
So
about
as once said, the best laid plans off gang a glay. That was a famous Scotsman who said that.
Right, and the problem is the way things are structured. If they get so much money, they want to keep getting so much money to get all the food, right? But if they find that they fall short, that this isn't being eaten or that's not being eaten because they also do waste
assessment
and all that kind of thing, then they don't get as much money. And then this is the whole trap of doing things that way.
Wow. Okay. So
you didn't use the money, so you don't need the money. So let's use the money to buy crap.
So there's some perverse incentives that we have to break down.
Honestly.
And finally, there's one more. Establish a federal food czar. Well, good luck with that. You know, who's going to be the food czar? Somebody who says we all should become, vegans and eat Impossible Burger?
Oh, no.
I mean, it's very political, and it's also
really, really is.
Very much dominated by the food industry.
Yeah.
Who want to make industrialized food.
Yeah.
So, the new director would help streamline and coordinate the many disparate efforts already under. Okay. So, I don't know, maybe should I sign up to be food czar of America?
I think you'd be a tremendous food czar.
I think it would
be fantastic.
I think it would be extremely bad for my mental and physical immense.
It would be. You'd have to have the intestinal fortitude.
Right.
I don't want that job.
Right.
I don't want that
job. Right. I mean, they might take a contract out on me.
Yeah. They would be slinging Impossible Burger patties at you saying,
exactly.
This is what you should be recommending.
With a trebuchet, like a 2-ton patty, you know, we're being fired at my thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, let's get to questions. That's our purpose today.
It's yes.
A weekly Q&A with Layla.
Yes.
So far away.
Yeah. Actually, first a comment from a colleague, a fellow doctor,
Dr.
Johan, talking about the vitamin D study that came out recently.
For which I wrote a newsletter article.
Yes, you did. So go to drhoffman.com and read that article. He also says this doctor.
By the way, we have an upcoming podcast where we're going to discuss with a real vitamin D expert.
Fantastic.
Some of the flaws in that study.
Great.
And he goes even way beyond my... I thought it was an in-depth analysis, but it's superficial compared to what Dr. Grant is going to talk about because
Wonderful.
He's so acquainted with the vitamin D research.
Yeah. This doctor says that it was a proverbial disaster, the way it was set up. It's just...
With a capital D.
With a capital D.
D for disaster.
Yeah, D for disaster. Not for D. Yeah. So we've got a question from Camille. I'm a 63-year-old healthy woman, 5'4", 120 pounds. For several years, I've had a fast pulse, both resting and after my strenuous gym classes, anywhere between 85 and 110 is her pulse. My blood pressure is usually 90s over 60s, rarely or occasionally it dips lower, 80s over 50s. I feel great, although occasional lightheadedness upon rising. You would with that kind of low blood pressure. And I'm aware of mild circulation problems. It feels to me that if I recover quickly after my HIIT class... but do I need to be concerned about my fast pulse?
The answer is pulse is what's called a vital sign.
Yeah.
And
can I ask a question about?
Sure.
Because her blood pressure is on the low side, is her pulse
very
compensating?
Good very good point. It may be compensatory for the, the lack of kind of a head of steam means that the pistons have to go faster.
Mm.
In a steam engine. So that is hydraulically what's happening with her.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly she's of a small stature and, like hummingbirds
have
a really fast pulse, and elephants and whales have very slow pulses.
Yeah.
The larger the animal, larger the person, too. So pulse can be a reflection of an underlying health problem. It could be a reflection of a fever, or it can be a reflection of... some sort of inflammatory problem. It could also be a reflection of an autonomic nervous system problem. Some people
have
sympathetic overdrive, with a high level of stress hormones, they have a fast pulse. It could be a sign of hyperthyroidism.
Mm-hmm.
Too high thyroid could cause a fast pulse or too much thyroid medication.
Yeah.
And so there's a multiplicity of things that it could be related to. It's also related to athletic conditioning. Generally, people who are well-conditioned have slower pulses at rest.
Yes.
I think an important index of conditioning is how fast your pulse reverts to normal after exercise.
Yeah.
And poorly conditioned people,
aerobic,
he's high for a long time.
Yeah.
I noticed that, you know, I work out at the gym. By the time I open the door, you know, it's actually the gym's right next door. My pulse is going to be down to about 70.
Yeah.
And then it reverts to its normal resting pulse, which could be 50 or lower, 46 or 48.
But I'm
an inveterate exerciser.
Yeah. 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 Your heart is like, oh, time to beat.
Right.
Time to beat.
Strong. Push a little blood to the brain.
Yeah. So it could be right.
I mean, I think some that may be in your constitution and does not reflect badly on your health.
Right. Yeah. So communicate.
It can even be something, an exogenous substance like caffeine, you know.
Sure.
Nicotine.
Yeah, but it's like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Both resting and the strenuous gym classes. That needs a workup.
Wait, it doesn't go higher, she's saying? Even?
No. For several years, I've had a fast pulse both resting and after my gym classes.
What did she report on how high it goes during the gym classes?
85 to 110.
During a workout?
She doesn't say during a workout, okay. But her range overall is 85 to 110, which is kind of high for fasting.
You mean resting?
For resting.
Right.
Thank you for resting. Yeah. So, all right. Okay. Camille, best of luck. Get a workup. And for that blood pressure, when it's low like that, a little pinch of salt in your water.
Hydrate more. Even under some supervision, take a licorice extract.
Yes, under supervision, please.
Because too much licorice can cause you to have water retention and loss of potassium.
And lower your potassium and then higher blood pressure and so forth. Okay.
Good point, which to pause because we want to allow our sponsors this window of opportunity to share a message with you. So listen up. Here goes. You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity Gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. You need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort supports serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30. For 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They, of course, are what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you, and we know you like it that way. So, back to question.
We've got one from Ricky. Dr. Hoffman, I self-prescribed Candibactin AR and BR. I've taken it for 30 days. It's helped immensely.
What did it help?
It helped SIBO with constipation. Wow. And now I have regular bowel movements. Now I'm at a loss.
By the way, those products are available from what company makes them?
Candibactin. Orthomolecular?
I think so.
I think it's Orthomolecular.
Yeah, Orthomolecular. And they're available on FullScript. One is Candibactin, as the name suggests, it is. Fights Candida and also fights bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah.
SIBO stands for small intestine bacterial overgrowth. So it's a natural antimicrobial. The BR is made with berberine and some other things.
Yes.
And berberine is a good antimicrobial. Microbial.
The, yeah.
A biocidal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the AR, which stands for aromatic, aromatic herbs. Which include
oregano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And their oregano is a potent antibacterial and antifungal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rosemary too, probably.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of a, you know, 1-2 punch against bacterial overgrowth.
So
sometimes more effective than Xifaxan, which is the medication used for SIBO.
Yeah. Ricky is wondering, she's in the Chicago area, what kind of doctor should I be seeing for a holistic approach?
Functional medicine doctor.
Functional medicine doctor. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's now been branded as the new name for the type of doctor, type of medicine that we call it.
You know, functional medicine.
It used to be called holistic, then it was called complementary, and then it was called integrative, and now we call it functional medicine.
Functional. So we're not even saying integrative and functional medicine anymore.
We can.
Functional medicine.
We can, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can go to a directory of physicians from functional medicine or from the Andrew Weil Center in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And actually, you won't find me on those lists because I was trained before those.
Before that became a thing.
So I didn't see the point in you know, going to learn stuff that I had already pioneered.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you can also use ACAM.org, you know, to find a physician.
Mm-hmm.
And Chicago is really it's a real mecca for that.
Right. You know. And ACAM is ACAM.org,
mm-hmm.
American College for the Advancement in Medicine.org. You could find a practitioner there, Ricky. So she's wondering what to do now to go forward. It's a good idea to follow with a practitioner.
They're rare birds, but there might even be it would really be nice if there's an integrative gastroenterologist in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's such a big area that there might be. There are a couple in New York,
mm-hmm.
You know, who actually have the training and certification to really understand very serious GI problems and prescribe very heavy duty medications should that be required, and even do colonoscopy or sigmoidoscopy or upper endoscopy on you if needed. You know, then you really got a one stop shop.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
What happens is you end up seeing a regular gastro, and then you see an integrative doctor because the gastro has a limited repertoire of tools.
Yes, yes.
You know, they don't.
Or they just give you a prescription when things can be taken care of more.
Yeah, they just give, you know, the digestion, they give you a Prilosec or Dexilant.
Yeah, and take it forever. And
that's okay, go ahead.
Take it for 3 weeks. It's all right. Don't worry about kidneys and dementia. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Ricky, best of luck to you. Okay, glad you're feeling better. Oh, so. This is from Dennis. It's not a question, but more of an alert. The New York Times seems to also be conducting a clandestine fight against supplements.
Oh, it's not so clandestine.
It's not so clandestine. It really is overt. And they're unashamed.
Right.
In the way the columnist is now is trying to tell us that supplement regulation will save us from the next Alex Jones.
Well, hang tight.
Yeah.
I don't subscribe. That's a guilt by association.
Yeah.
Things. In the view of the Times, and in the view of a lot of Americans, Alex Jones is the epitome of evil because he's an extremely, you know, like a conspiracy theorist kind of guy.
Mm.
And he's been discredited because of this, really horrible denial of the reality of the
Sandy Hook. Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, where he was in court and he was assessed like huge damages because of the harm and the suffering that he imposed on the parents of the children. And so he's like a villain, but that is a little bit, you know, because he sells supplements, I promote supplements. Are we in the same bag?
My goodness.
It's a little bit like saying, well, you know, Adolf Hitler was a vegetarian. So all vegetarians are Nazi murderers.
Take that, vegetarians.
Right. Guilt by association. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you know, so from the New York Times perspective, you know, it's a great rhetorical flourish.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of, you know, implies that taking vitamins is as lunatic a proposition as denying the reality of Sandy Hook.
Yeah, I can't believe people still read that paper. I haven't read the New York Times in I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
It's really, you know.
I mean, I just think that's,
yeah.
And there's another one out in the Daily Mail. So I suspect that there's an aroma of an organized campaign against supplements.
Yes.
And I think it's coordinated. And I think that these stories get ginned up periodically, especially when there's legislation. And this is a time for me to mention that We have a Save Our Supplements campaign. There is a campaign to limit access to supplements and to further regulate the supplement industry. And it's in Congress and it's active right now. And so we have a Save Our Supplements campaign where the news has been good because it seems that we've stalled some of their most egregious efforts. But I just received an alert saying that they have reintroduced a bill which will require mandatory product listing for all supplements. Now, that sounds like a reasonable thing. Like, yeah, let's list those, you know, all the ingredients, all the supplements. But it would it's a prelude to regulation. And it's kind of like saying, okay, you know, I want, you know, all, you know, like kind of like in World War II, you know, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, it's like, yeah, I want all the Japanese to register at your local police station. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to just register at the police station so we know who you are and where you are because we're concerned. The next thing, they were put on trains and they were, you know, sent to, in effect, I mean, to call those concentration camps, they were not extermination camps.
No.
They were places of hardship, you know, where people were kept.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's
internment camps.
So, I mean, that's my that's my overheated analogy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, I'm just retaliating to the Times overheated analogy. And, you know, so there's a place to go to find out. Go to drhoffman.com/ANH. That's the Alliance for Natural Health. They're the organization that protects your rights as consumers to accessing kind of medical care you want, have freedom of choice in healthcare, and to have access to supplements. And homeopathic medicines, that's another cause because they're trying to eradicate homeopathic medicines too at the same time. I've contributed for a limited time. I'll be matching all donations up to a total of $5,000. We've received, we're hundreds and hundreds of dollars of contributions. We're not up to the $5,000 threshold, but people have responded.
What?
And so don't get complacent because in the dark of the night, your liberties can be stolen away from you.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not paying attention and it's like, pay attention to, the man in the pulpit, you know, who's spewing rhetoric while other stuff happens.
Yes.
Under the radar.
Right. Right. And put down your phone so you could pay attention.
Yes.
Everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that was my
stop watching TikTok videos.
Stop using TikTok. Okay. So
it's a week we're fuss because we divide our podcast into parts. All right. So this is the first part. And in part two, give us a preview of what we're going to talk about.
Oh, my stepson was encouraged to take a genetic test that would evaluate his risk for pancreatic cancer.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're with Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. We'll be back for part two. Stay with us.